When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mediocre team and Big D. That's what makes this funny.
How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys?
Some way, somehow, when it counts, just wait. They will let you down.
The accident, they will mess it up. Just wait.
The accident, they will let you down.
Just wait.
The accident, wait. The accident, wait. The accident, waiting to happen. It will happen.
I'm predicting they're gonna be irrelevant. Predicted an absolute embarrassment for the last decade and a half.
They made me laugh. All the talent that they have
is unbelievable, man.
Big D,
teasing you.
This is what they do.
Walking
the weed show from on cue.
Accident,
something will go wrong.
The accident
of the big jumbotron.
Accident
gone.
Gotta recognize
it's a black cat running around that franchise.
Stay with
it.
Accident, they will mess it up. Just wait.
The accident,
they will let you down.
Just wait.
The accident.
Mediocre team and Big D.
It really never gets old. Shannon, have you heard
never.
That on this show yet? Have you been on the show when we played that?
No, I haven't. That's my first time hearing it.
Shannon, the most wild part, it's like the guy has manifestation powers. He talked about the black cat running around, and then at MetLife, literally, the black cat runs around. When I saw that, I was like, my goodness, I have seen it all. But we'll get into it, guys. Another disappointing end to Dallas's season, obviously. Stephen A., with that being said.
Disappointing for who? For who? I mean, speak for yourself.
Where's your hat?
Not disappointing for me.
You hat on for America? You have it with you?
Yeah.
Put that on.
Yeah.
There we go. There he is. There he is.
Yeah.
Okay, S.A., I'll start with you. Who's the most to blame for that collapse last night?
Oh, easily Dan Quinn. Easily. The defense was so alarmingly inept, so lost, so discombobulated, so out of sync, and ultimately so punked. There is no more flagrant culprit for yesterday's demise than Dan Quinn. I think it's so bad that I don't think that Dan Quinn deserves to be a head coach. I think that he should be immediately omitted from head coaching consideration for the Seattle Seahawks. And I know that he was an exceptional defensive coordinator in Seattle. And he's been a damn good coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. But when you're that head coach, you got to remember, he was the head coach in Atlanta when you had a 28-3 lead against the New England Patriots and you ended up losing that game. We point to Kyle Shanahan because you kept throwing the football instead of running the football and should have milked the clock more. But there was an authoritative figure that he had available there, which was Dan Quinn. Where the hell were you? Were you sleepwalking? And by the way, you didn't stop New England from coming back in that game. Dan Quinn, I'm not trying to sit up there and say, and this is where it gets tricky, Dan Orlovsky, Shannon. I am not saying that Dan Orlovsky doesn't deserve a job in the NFL as a defensive coordinator any more than I'm saying Mike McCarthy doesn't deserve to be a head coach.
Dan Quinn.
But what I'm saying is in Dallas, when you have a Harbaugh or you have a Belichick available, then excuse me, if Belichick came, he ain't going to keep Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator. If Harbaugh came, likelihood he ain't going to keep Dan Quinn as his defensive coordinator, rather. If I'm them, I'm moving on from that. And that's what I'm saying to Dallas Cowboys. And I think McCarthy should be gone. I think Quinn should be gone. But I definitely think that yesterday, based on how porous Dallas's defense was and how they got straight up punked, there's no way around it. I believe that ultimately Dan Quinn was the culprit because they were just lost throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, Stephen, there's enough blame to go around because I don't think Mike McCarthy had that offense ready to play either. But I'm going to have to side with you with Dan Quinn in this defense because all year they've been predicated on turning you over, creating short fields, creating havoc in the backfield, pressuring your quarterback, and they did none of that yesterday. A defense that was the middle of the pack all year against the run, now all of a sudden you let Aaron Jones and that Packer offense run wild against your 3 rush touchdowns, and Aaron Jones looked like – a Pro Bowl, All-Pro running back. He had an outstanding day, but they came in with a commitment. See, running the football is all about attitude. You start with the line, you start with your five offensive linemen, they got to be violent. And then you get to your wide receivers, and they got to be willing to stick their nose in there and dig out support. And they did a great job of that, blocking down the field in order to spring Aaron Jones, and you see, not tackle until he's 7-8 yards down the field. But I'm a firm believer in this, and you've heard me say this before, D.O. and Stephen A. It doesn't matter what you are in the regular season. Can you get done what you need to get done when you absolutely have to have it? And yesterday, neither side of the football, when they needed to stop on third down, the Cowboys' defense couldn't get off the field. When they needed a third down conversion on offense, the Cowboys' offense couldn't stay on the field. So there's enough blame. Now, you said something very interesting, Stephen A. Go back with me. You said it was Kyle Shanahan when they had the 28-3 lead and they wouldn't run the football, but Dan Quinn was an authoritative figure. Who was the authoritative figure yesterday that when Dan Quinn kept calling that defense and blitzing, who was the authoritative figure on the field? Take off, D.O.
Supposed to be McCarthy.
I mean, they were down 48-16. There is no singular blame or most blame. Everybody, Shannon, you said it, like everybody has their hand in this. There was nothing about that defense that was prepared. And Stephen A. and Shannon, that's why I made it a point to bring up Aaron Glenn's name for the Detroit Lions last night. The reason why is this. That Rams offense that Detroit had to go against is brutal to prepare for. They do so much shifts and motions and create matchups.
That's all they've been doing.
Aaron Glenn countered in the second half so incredibly well. I've had people say, well, like every defense struggles with the stuff that the Packers do. Well, apparently the Lions had some answers because it won them a ball game. And so the lack of adjustment by Dallas defensively, the lack of the person who played with the most or at least represented the Cowboys with the most emotion was Jimmy Johnson at halftime during the studio show.
True.
So, like, defensively, they're to blame. Offensively, they were awful.
They're terrible.
They were predictable. And here's my thing. Like, everyone's killing the defense, rightfully so. The offense gave Green Bay 13 points, one with the pick six, one with an interception at, what, the 15 or 20-yard line. Last year, when it mattered the most, the offense did not play well. And 2 years ago, when it mattered the most, the offense did not play well. So, like, everybody that is a primary figure on both sides of the football, offensive or defensive, has to have blame in this and has to take some accountability for this. It wasn't just the defense was bad, and it wasn't just Dak was bad. The play calling was predictable. Right. Dak Prescott played poor. He was timid. He didn't see the field well. He had no trust in his eyes, and he played way too fast, and the defense was awful. One person to blame.
Wait, deal. Stop it. I mean, man, take off the white hat. Stop trying to float around like a dove, okay? We know everybody messed up. We understand that. But come on, man. You can't ignore how porous you saw that defense look. When guys are catching the football and there's no one in the vicinity, the camera actually has to dial back and go to a wide shot just to make sure you can see that somebody else is on the damn field with them, Dan. There's no getting around that. When somebody is running a ball down your throat, okay, we get that. When you got those light, you got those light in the behind safety, Shannon, looking like my size going up against you, trying to stop a running back. I get that. I understand that. But when one receiver's, Dan, catch a pass, and literally the camera can't find a defender in the vicinity. The camera. I didn't say Dan. I didn't say Shannon. I said the camera, whose job it is to purview the damn field, and they can't find a defender. Literally. That is a damn problem. So I get where you're coming from. Of course everybody's to blame. Of course. No doubt about it. But there are culprits that are more flagrant, more conspicuous, more illuminating than others. And yesterday, it was that damn defense. And that had a lot to do with it. Come on, Dan.
And they have to be more culpable. Go ahead, D.O. Go ahead. Follow up, Stephen A. Go ahead.
I'm not, Stephen A., I agree with you. But I've heard so many people contextualize this game in relation to only defense. They were awful. They got embarrassed. They got outcoached. But it shouldn't be surprising. This is what we saw it against San Francisco.
This is what they do.
We saw it against Buffalo. And then we saw it again yesterday.
Oh, no. Say it. Say it. This is what they do. Go ahead. Say it. Say it. Say it.
Yeah, that's who they are. That's who they are. That's who they are. That is who they are. But we've seen it from the offense, too. Like, that's my point. That is my point with all of this, is we can't just pin this on one person or one side of the football. If they play good on defense yesterday, they're still going to lose.
Their not like that.
Their offense was poor.
No, but here's the thing.
But they're still home.
I think the thing is, what happened was the Cowboys win the toss. You're going to put them dogs on the field first. You're going to unleash Micah. You're going to unleash D-Law and Dorrance Armstrong. You're going to turn those dogs loose. What does Green Bay do, D.O.? They get the ball, 12 plays, 75 yards, ball to the end zone. Okay, now they force the Cowboys to go three and out. Now they get the ball, and guess what? They go right back down the field. And now all of a sudden, you're like, hold on. This is not the scenario. This is not how I started writing this book when I remember said I wanted to write a book about the playoffs for the Cowboys in 2024. This is not the ending that I started with. This is not what I thought was going to happen. So now you're at home. You got 80,000 fans, and all of a sudden you start to hear the murmurs. All of a sudden it's like, boo, and now the players. You see CD starting to look up. Everybody starting to look around. Mike McCarthy all of a sudden talking to CD on the sideline. Now you realize Green Bay says, hold on, they're not invincible. All this notion about creating havoc and chaos in the opposing team's backfield, there's none of that going on. And before you know it, you've allowed a young team to get confidence in your building. It's goodnight, Irene.
Here's my pushback, Shannon. Hypothetical world. Cowboys change their defensive coordinator and only their defensive coordinator. They're all of a sudden going to be a different playoff football team? They're all of a sudden going to be in that class that we see with, obviously, Green Bay, who's there now and ascending, and the San Franciscos and the Detroits. We think that's going to be the fix, is just get Dan Quinn out of there?
Before Shannon answers that question, can I throw this at your way, Shannon, to piggyback with Dan's question and throw this at you as well?
Yes.
Isn't it you, Shannon, that told me you guys would tell an offense, you know what I'm saying, just score 10 points. We got the rest. The offense would be told, just score 10 points. Because the defense was that elite.
Yes.
You knew that. What I'm saying is, if a defense is that elite, then – it can make up for a lot. Wouldn't you say, Shannon, hasn't your championship team proven that?
Yes, but see, the thing is, Mike and them talk about it. They're not about it. You see, the thing that I love most about sports, Stephen A., you can't talk your way into something. You got to show somebody. Sure. Now, you can say a little or you can say a lot, but you got to prove it to me on Saturday or Sunday. Now, I'm coming. Because I figure, you know what? And all that talking, remember how D-Law said, oh, you hit a joker in the mouth, and you hit him again, and you hit him again, and then when he quit, you hit him again? They hit nobody. They couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight.
Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm picking up what you're putting.
I would know. I have grapes right here. I have grapes right here.
You're the only grown man I know that just snacks on grapes.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Patrick Mahomes improved to 10-2 in his home playoff career, leading the Chiefs to a 26-7 win over the Miami Dolphins in -0 degree weather. My goodness. Mahomes' 10 wins are tied with Joe Montana and Peyton Manning for the second most by a quarterback in NFL history, trailing only Tom Brady's 21 such wins. Good company to be in. Meanwhile, the Dolphins remain without a playoff win since 2000. That's the longest active drought in the NFL. Okay, Shay, you're up first. Was Saturday night more about the Dolphins or the Chiefs to you?
It's about the Dolphins. I mean, look, and this is no slight to the Chiefs. I think their defense has been unbelievable all year long. And probably if they're going to get to and ultimately win the Super Bowl, they're probably going to do it on the back of that defense. But this is about the Miami Dolphins and their inability to beat good teams all year. They've beaten one good team all year, and then you exacerbate a situation with adverse conditions. So either it's adverse weather or good teams, it seems like the Dolphins find ways to lose. And so I was not surprised. And Dio, you probably played games like this. It's a mental grind to convince your mind to tell your body that it's not cold out here. And I got to go function and I got to go make these plays because it's cold. And people are like, well, is it cold? Yeah, it's cold. It's cold. I don't let anybody tell you. I don't care how much adrenaline you got going. I don't care what's at stake. It's cold. I'm telling you, I haven't played in anything that cold, but I've been pretty close to zero. And it's cold. And to convince yourself that is not cold and go out there and react as if it's 80 degrees is a grind. Miami's not used to that. You can pretty much practice against, you know, you get a guy that's elusive and you play, have your best athlete play that position. Or if it's raining, you can wet the footballs. How do you simulate minus degrees in Miami when it's 70 degrees? Where can you go get an ideal situation like that? This was about Miami. We knew they're not built for these kind of conditions. They're not built to grind it out. They couldn't run the football. And so now you leave Tua and you ask Tua to win you a football game when you can't run it. 1-for-12 on third down, and they didn't see one red zone possession. This was all about Miami. And this is no disrespect because the Chiefs played really, really well. But the Miami Dolphins, this was all about their inability to do anything.
I totally disagree. I thought it was about Kansas City. In one, it was the best game they played in maybe all season from top to bottom. Two, it looked like a team or they looked like a team that could get back to the Super Bowl. I did not expect Miami to win the game. Miami going on the road, given the weather elements, and then also giving the injuries that they were dealing with. This team has been decimated with injuries. I didn't expect them to win. And I expected Kansas City to play well. They played better than I thought. I think a couple things stand out. Number one, it was their cleanest game in a while, both in penalties and self-inflicted wounds and turnovers. Number two, one of the things that's been missing in this offense was explosive plays. They had 11 explosive plays, 20-plus yards. Miami had three. That was the opposite this season. Kansas City couldn't get any, and Miami had a ton. They flipped it in that game. If the Kansas City Chiefs can get more of that, over, obviously, next week, potentially on the road in Buffalo, that's going to be a massive part. They look like a team that could win the Super Bowl. The second thing is this, or at least get back to it. The second thing is this. It's the complete contrast of our previous conversation. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for Kansas City, continues to show that he is one of the best big-game defensive coordinators in all of football. That Kansas City Chiefs team that I saw play Saturday night, and I saw some of those Rashee Rice continue to be the focal point of their pass game and Pacheco and the interior of their offensive line. That's a team that I saw, okay, if they got to go on the road versus Buffalo, they could win. Okay, if Houston's going to come to them, they could beat Houston. You know, if they can catch Baltimore. So that was way more of the bigger deal for me Saturday night.
I'm going to roll with Shannon here, but I'm going to be the non-football guy here when I use this analogy. So you ever walk around, you walk down the street, and, you know, you might have tree branches and stuff like that hanging low and stuff like that. It might graze your skin or whatever, right? Might a little scratch or whatever hurts a little bit. You ever have that happen to you in freezing temperature? It looked like you're damn. I remember years ago when the tree branch scratched my ear. I felt like my damn ear was cut off because that's how cold it was, okay? Yeah. This is how painful it is, right? Cold weather matters. And it's not an accident. I said this when, the minute, if you remember last week, fellas, They said, they announced that it was going to be -4 degree temperature. Wind chill factor that makes it feel like -25 to -27 degrees. I said, game over. There's nothing, there's no need to discuss this game. Miami don't stand a chance, okay? And what happens? We come to find out that they are now 0-11 in games of 40 degree temperature or less, getting outscored by 17 points per game. That's what we've learned about the Miami Dolphins. And I told y'all last week, I was sick of them. I'm done with them. The minute they wet the bed and they got their butts kicked and let Baltimore drop 56 on them, I was done with them. Why? Because you see, when you reside near South Beach, in that weather, okay, one would think you would exhaust yourself prioritizing anything that I need to ensure that I don't have to go on the road to the playoffs. Why? Because when I scour the AFC, there's Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. There's Baltimore. It's the freezing temperatures up there right now. There's Buffalo. The game had to be delayed a day because of the weather in Buffalo. Okay, I'm scouring the rest of the conference, and I'm going like this. There's very, very few places that feel like South Beach. Let me make sure I don't have to go there. They did no such thing from the start of this season, throughout the rest of the season, whenever they went on the road, especially against quality teams. They got what they deserved. We all knew it was going to happen just based on the meteorologist and the weather report that was coming. We didn't even need to go to football. We knew it the second we knew it was going to be freezing temperatures.
Stephen A., they had a 3-game lead with 5 games to play. And you get the final game at home against Buffalo. And then guess what? You get to play this game in 70-degree weather. It might not have been against Kansas City, but right. You get to play it in 70-degree weather. Well, it's your own fault. But we've been saying this. We saw this all year, D.O., with the Miami Dolphins. Against good teams, what happens other than the Cowboys? Yeah. The way they're built, a speed team, when you put speed teams in inclement weather, it could be rain, it could be cold, it can be snow. They're at a decided disadvantage. Did you see what Snead did to Tyreek Hill with that freeze jam? Did you see that deal on that sack?
Yeah, that's luxurious. Yeah.
Yeah, you see that? That's a guy because he can't get traction. So now Snead said, I know you can't get traction. Plus, I got a little help over the top. Let me put these mitts on you.
The only thing I want to, the context of the Miami Dolphins, we got to be fair. They lost the top three defensive ends. They lost both starting linebackers. They lost Xavier Howard and their starting center.
So they scored 7 points
at the end of the season.
They scored 7 points.
They were decimated by injury.
Okay, who did they lose on offense? There was Tua there. Was Tyreek there? Was Jalen Waddle there?
Not having the excuses, Dan.
Mostert was there. A-Chan was there. Smythe was there. Cockrell.
At the end of the season, Mostert missed time. Waddle missed time.
They were there Saturday, he's saying.
They were there Saturday.
They were saying Saturday.
Saturday. I'm not talking.
Were they there?
Were they there Saturday?
I get it, though. The defense was decimated. I get it.
We're always unreal when we're dropping facts on you. They were there. They played.
Yeah.
No, right, let's leave it there, guys. Coming up next.
Both sides.
Lift every voice and sing.
Martin Luther King helped change our country, but really the world. I'm very grateful for him because I have an opportunity today to have dreams and to be able to do whatever I want in this world. And that's thanks because of his vision and his work.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With the 48-32 loss to the Packers on Sunday, America's team has now 8 1-and-done playoff appearances since the start of 96. That is the second most by any team in the NFL, trailing only behind the Colts. Dallas' loss on Sunday also marks their 13th straight playoff appearance without reaching the conference championship. That's the longest such streak by any franchise in that time. Jerry was going through it after yesterday's loss. Big Jer?
I say this to our fans, how much you deserve us to not have this ending. I certainly in no way have spent any of my time over the last 3 hours asking how and why we didn't do it. I don't have any thoughts about the reasons why or anything to do with the coaching, anything to do about the players. I want to give Green Bay a lot of compliments and credit. This is one of my most surprises since I've been involved in sport, period. So this is that degree. I know how disappointed everybody is. That's all my comment.
One of his biggest surprises since he's been involved in sports. Three notable coaches that are available for NFL jobs include Jim Harbaugh, who's set to interview with the Chargers today. Bill Belichick, who's looking for a new team after spending 24 seasons in New England and 6 rings. And Mike Vrabel, who won the 2021 Coach of the Year with the Titans, of course, played for Belichick. Shannon, tell me this. Would Belichick to the Cowboys make sense?
Hell no. Man, do you not understand that Coach Belichick wants authority? Can you imagine Jerry Jones trying to hold a press conference and tell what's going on with the team? And you think Coach Belichick is going to sit by idly by and let Jerry do that? Absolutely not. It would be the worst. It's a match made in hell. You can't pick a worse match than Jerry Jones and Coach Bill Belichick. There's a reason he got rid of Jimmy. He got rid of Bill Parcells. Do you understand? Coach Belichick learned under Parcells. Jimmy and Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick are more alike. And once he got rid of Parcells, what has he done? Hired the Chan Gailey's, hired the Dave Campbell's, hired the Jason Garrett's, hired the Mike McCarthy, hired the Wade. He don't want that type of coach. He wants to be able to do everything. He wants to be the face of it. I find it ironic. Stephen A., D.O., don't you find it ironic? The man that they normally, the reporters normally have to like, Jerry, we got to go talk to the players. He had so little to talk about yesterday. He always has so much to talk about. He ain't have nothing to say. He ain't want to talk about no players. He ain't want to talk about no coaches. All he want to do is congratulate Green Bay. When all he wants to do normally is talk. Green Bay beat him so bad, Stephen A., Jerry Jones didn't have nothing to talk about. Now, when have you ever known Jerry Jones to be a loss for words? But no, yesterday. this would be a terrible match, Coach Belichick and Jerry Jones.
Shannon Sharp, I completely disagree with you. I completely disagree. You on the opposite ends of the spectrum than me, this Shay. I completely disagree. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Seriously, why? Desperate time call for desperate measures, all right? And I get what you're saying. I'm not refuting your point about Jerry's past. He's 81 years of age, clock's ticking. These are his words, not mine.
And when you see the level of ineptitude that you witnessed yesterday, and you understand that on a 28-year anniversary of the last time you made it to an NFC Championship game, you got embarrassed on your home turf, okay? Getting blown out the damn building by a guy playing his first year at quarterback in his first playoff game. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Now let me go to Belichick route. 266 and 121 in 24 years in New England, a 68.7 winning percentage, and that's taken into account what we saw the last 4 years. We understand something. I think that we have to take into account, I just brought up the change that ultimately could potentially be infused in Jerry Jones. Well, let's talk about the change that's in Bill Belichick. Just a week ago, Shannon, before it was announced that he was departing from New England, what did he say? I have no problem ceding authority, you know, to others for right. personnel decisions. That's what he said. You know why? Because all a man has done over the last decade, everybody he's drafted, he's only produced two Pro Bowl players, a punter and a kicker. That is it. He hasn't drafted anybody else. And so when you look at Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones and what they've been able to put together from a talent perspective, what you're saying is ultimately is that I need a coach that knows what the hell he's doing. Okay, that I don't have to worry about something. I'm looking at McCourty on NBC yesterday, one of his players for years, a champion, by the way. What did he do and turn to when he turned to Jason Garrett, the former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and say, he looked at him and said, well, one thing I can assure you of, that wouldn't have happened with a Bill Belichick coach team. Not that. Not that. And so when we look at it from that perspective and you take into account the amount of time that Jerry believes he has left, and they also added at this point, Shay, along with D.O., Jerry likes to talk. What's the one thing Bill Belichick doesn't like to do? Talk. So guess what? I got somebody here that's going to do all the talking. I don't even have to talk to you damn people in the media. I can give you one word and one sentence answers, let my press conferences last about 3 minutes and be on my merry damn way, because this dude right here will happily do all the talking while I get to coach. I think that's what's going on, and I think that's why that could work.
Coach Belichick don't want anybody to talk. He don't want his players talking. He don't want the owner talking.
Bill Belichick has lost that. He don't have that anymore. He don't have that choice anymore.
Stephen A., it's easy to say this is what I'm willing to do, because we've been in situations, you're like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do, until we have to do it for a small period of time, and then you realize it. It's hard for me to believe that a man has had power as long as he has it, is so willingly willing to relinquish it. That's all I'm saying.
I think if the Cowboys had Bill Belichick yesterday, they are a significantly more competitive team. I think if Bill Belichick goes to coach the Cowboys, it's the most talented team he's had since maybe the comeback that Tom led against the Falcons. I mean, that's the reality, is that do I think it would work? Absolutely. I absolutely think it would work. Bill Belichick wants to go break down Shula's record. He knows the easiest way to do that is to go into a bad division, which is where the Cowboys are in regards to where the Giants have been and the Washington Commanders, and have a very talented football team.
That's
the easy plug and play.
Real quick, because we got to go to break, but how do you say that it's one of the most talented teams that he's had, Bill Belichick, and at the same time you're saying you got to blow the team up and get rid of the quarterback?
Because it's 15 Pro Bowlers. It's indisputable how talented they are. What I'm saying is you have to change those pivotal people. And I understand people are like, get rid of Dak Prescott,
you're crazy.
Which is the
coach, OC, and quarterback.
We got to make a have to make a transition at some point. We've maybe reached our peak in this iteration of ourselves, and we have to make some form of changes. It's a roster.
Before we go, Shannon, remember, you're saying that it's hard to imagine him ceding power. I'm saying to you is Bill Belichick is that way with people who has dominion over. He didn't have dominion over Robert Kraft. He didn't ever tell Robert Kraft what to do. He ain't going to tell Jerry Jones what to do. He's talking about those players. And by the way, you want to see DeMarcus Lawrence talk about, we're going to beat you up. Then we're going to beat you up again. Then we're going to beat you up again.
All right, let's go.
He would tell him to shut up.
Yeah, I think the thing is, he wants more than that Don Shula's record is that he wants to win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. That's what he wants more than anything, D.C.
Yeah.
He wants to prove that he can win a Super Bowl without him, because
Brady
went
to Washington or Seattle.
Yeah. Going to happen with the Chargers. It's going to happen with Dallas.
A, with some of the teams we're hearing rumored. Yeah, it's interesting. But we'll see how it all plays out. Could be a smokescreen. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Jared Goff matched up against his former Rams team and Matthew Stafford, the player he was traded for in 2021. Goff got his revenge in leading the Lions to their first playoff victory in 32 years, the longest active drought in the NFL without a playoff win. Huge congrats to the Motor City. Goff threw for 277 on 22 for 27 passing with a TD, no interceptions, becoming just the fourth Lions quarterback since 1950 to win a playoff game. Stephen A., who had the more satisfying win yesterday? Would you say it was Jared Goff or Jordan Love?
Well, for me, it was definitely Jared Goff, just from the standpoint that he beat the team that, you know, exiled him. You know, he sent them away. You know, when you think about Jordan Love, yes, your first playoff victory, it's against the Dallas Cowboys, the first number seven seed to win a playoff game like that. We get all of that. But in all seriousness, when you consider that Jared Goff once was the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams and they actually went to a Super Bowl, and then you pushed him out the door and let him know that, you know what, well, we prefer somebody else, which happens to be Matthew Stafford. Then you go and not only do you win in Detroit, but you beat the team that let you go and the quarterback they let you go for. I think that resonates as well. And then last but not least, you hadn't won a playoff game. The franchise hadn't won a playoff game since 1991. And this was only their second playoff victory since they won a championship in 1957. When you consider all of that momentum, you see why 66,300 plus people showed up in that stadium, and it was rocking. It was an electrifying environment, the likes of which we haven't seen, I would say, in the history of the franchise. And because it's football as opposed to basketball or something else, I don't know if there's ever, I mean, you could talk to Pontiac Silverdome and some of the great events and things that have taken place there, but I don't know if we've ever seen Detroit like that, like it was last night.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you want to say satisfying is Jared Goff, you want to say better win, it would be Jordan Love. But when you say satisfying, considering I got revenge on a team that gave up on me, that didn't believe in me, and rightfully so. I mean, it proved out well for the Rams because they got Matthew Stafford and they went to and won a Super Bowl. So they were right to do the move. It still doesn't make it easier for Jared Goff. You know, breaking up is never easy. There's no easy way to tell someone you want to move on if said person still wants to be in a relationship. Jared Goff didn't want to leave the Rams, Stephen A. and Dio. He wanted to stay there. And Sean McVay said it could have been handled better. You can't handle a situation. If I want to be somewhere and you move on, what's the easy way to tell me you don't want me anymore, Dio? What's the easier way, Stephen A., for you to tell someone you no longer want to be with them? Yeah. And I feel that I'll be better off with someone else. So the most satisfying was Jared Goff, absolutely, Stephen A., because he was the number one overall draft pick by the Rams. They moved on from him, went to a Super Bowl, and he says, you know what? I'm going to get my revenge today. You might have got that Super Bowl back a couple of years ago, but you won't get one this year because I'm going to make sure you send your tail home.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Jared, a couple of things here. So I think number one, history. I mean, it's one of the greatest moments in the history of that organization. Jared Goff's name is at the forefront of that. I was with Jared his second year in 2017. I went out to the Rams and I was with them. And, you know,
what
that
you
was after, like, falling completely coaching.
Oh, okay.
Just holding a clipboard. Good job, Jared. Nice throw, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good ball. But all jokes aside, like, that was after his rookie year when he had fallen flat on his face. He was the number one pick. and a complete bust of a rookie year. And all of a sudden the conversation is, well, this kid stinks, he can't play, he's stupid, he doesn't know defenses. And to then go to the Super Bowl as their starting quarterback and then get cast away, and to your point, Shannon, you know, it paid off dividends for the Rams, and then to go win that game and put his name in history for the Lions organization, it's huge. And he is a 10 of a 10 human being. Everything that we say about Dak Prescott, Jared, and in many ways is. And then I also think the play call at the 2-minute warning, second down, the Rams have one timeout. I think so often, if you don't believe in your guy, you're running the ball and you're playing it safe. And I think the satisfaction that Jared must have had to get that play call in his helmet and to, and I'm not taking a shot at Sean McVay, I think the world is Sean McVay, but to have a coach believe in you and be like, hey, we're gonna put this game in your hands and throw it, I think has gotta be one of the best moments of his career.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. All right, SA, the new Packers fan. What's your final message for Dallas Cowboys fans? Because I'm going to be honest with you, that entire game, I was thinking about you, and I think a lot of America was as well.
Shay! You know, I could just go on a little soliloquy. You understand what I'm saying? But they say that pictures give you 1,000 words.
Right.
Rather than 1,000 words.
So. Remember this? Hey, I can't help it. You see that right there? Did y'all think I was going to have a whole show go without you? He got busted. That wasn't his woman. That wasn't his woman right there. You see this dude cry? Now, that was before. Now, I have to admit that I expected the network to have better camera angles, but they were busy showing Jerry Jones and the players as opposed to the fans. So I had to dig back into the archives, Shay Shay, because here's what I want to ask you. That was when they played a competitive game and lost to San Francisco. Could you imagine what it was like yesterday? you can't make this up, man. I mean, it's just a given. Look at them. They prayed, they cried, they brought somebody other than their girl. I mean, everything. They tried everything over the years. Nothing has worked. And now, Shay Shay, I'm imagining that the collapse that took place yesterday is even worse than this footage that you see right here.
Yeah. The footage they would have gotten yesterday, Stephen, they would probably been fans leaving early. That's what was happening. The fans started leaving early because at 48-16, you know they don't have Tom Brady and there's no possibility of a comeback.
Exactly. And you know how they show the footage? You know, the footage from earlier this year, Shannon, when the fans are rushing into the stadium. Notice they didn't show them leaving. They didn't show them leaving yesterday. You see what I'm saying? I mean, they just kept that out.
And you know why, Stephen A? Because they ran out of the building just like they ran in. They was running out of the building just like they ran in yesterday.
And couldn't catch them.
That was embarrassing.
Listen, I am not laughing at the Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, when he comes back next year, I think they're going to be big time. I'm not laughing at my buddy Jerry Jones. But am I laughing at those Dallas Cowboy fans everywhere?
Yep.
Yes.
Steve Stout. You know what, Steve? Steve Stout won't even answer my call. Now, he was calling
me. They can't find him, right? You got it, right?
Can't find him. Can't
I was looking
it.
For him yesterday, too. I was looking for him yesterday, too. I could find him. I could find Denzel. I mean, APB out for him. You understand? Yeah. I know the movie box, so I can't find Denzel. Looking for him everywhere, right? Tex Johnson. Tex Johnson. Remember Tex Johnson?
Yeah.
AKA Shaquille O'Neal. Can't find him. I can't find any of them. Yo, where are they? Where they at? Where they at?
Y'all still the boys? Y'all still the boys?
You still them boys? We them boys.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.